Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we praise the Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we praise the Lord.
Sing a new song to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we shout for joy. Hallelujah, we praise the Lord. Sing a new song to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we shout for joy. Hallelujah, we praise the Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise the Lord.
Today, I'm John Prater. I'm a representative with Gospel Link, and I've had the privilege of traveling with this team since September the 1st. I started out in Atlanta, Georgia. We've been all over the Southeast. Someone asked me yesterday, what's the furthest you're going? Felton, Delaware is the furthest we're going. So we're kind of at our northernmost point, first time crossing the Mason-Dixon line. So, and y'all may have a little trouble with my accent. The guys are going to tell you that when they talk, but you're probably having trouble with my accent, too. So, but we're delighted to be here. We've been having a great time. The purpose of this trip is to glorify God and to praise Him. And this team has been doing that everywhere we've been. We've been in a lot of churches, obviously, but also in schools, parks. We were in a cave down in Alabama, Cathedral Caverns. They were singing praises to God in the cave. We've been to the Gulf of Mexico. We've been to Assateague Island. They were praising God there. We've been in restaurants. Everywhere we've been, they've been praising God. So that's our purpose, is to glorify God and please Him and to lead people in worship. I'm going to jump the gun on them a little bit. They usually say this, but I'm going to say it first. We're not here to entertain, but we're here to lead in worship. And we've had a good time doing that and a lot of opportunities to do that. As we're traveling, one of our goals, we have 25 new students coming into the Bible College in January. So they'll all be freshmen. They'll be starting. And our goal is to get sponsorships for them so they can come to the college, be there full-time. It's a four-year Bachelor of Theology program. So we're getting sponsorships for the new students that are coming in. Each student needs four $50 sponsorships. That allows him to come to the college, to go full-time, to learn to serve God. So I'll be explaining a little bit more about that at the end of the service. But again, thank you so much for letting us be here. I want to thank our host homes. Y'all just raise your hand for a minute, if you will. We've had a great time so far this weekend. Thank you so much. We have a lot of folks that are sponsoring pastors and students. I want to thank you all for doing that. Several of you have been to Zambia. How many of you have been to Zambia? Okay, and some of you multiple times, some two or three times a year, right? So thank y'all for all that you're doing for the Bible College. I've only been to Zambia twice, so I don't necessarily go regularly, but I know some of you do. Probably know more about the college than I do. Y'all could come up and actually tell more about it than I can. But we're having a great time here to honor God and to worship Him. All right.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to quickly introduce the names of the group as we are called Voices of Zambia. I'll start with the man with guitar. He's Joshua Kapui. He is the graduate from the school. He just graduated in January, and he is working as the kitchen manager right now at the college. And next to him is Charles Mendulu. Charles is also a student. He's in his third year studying theology at the college. The one speaking is Nebat Mumba. I'm also a junior at the school together with Charles. We are in the same class. Next to me, we have the pastor, George Mukovoto. He's the pastor to our campus church that we have, and he came with his bride. That is Nana. Nana, she's the wife to the pastor, and also in third year, together with me and Charles. And finally, we have a man from Malawi, not Zambia. But he's studying in Zambia. Right now, he's a senior. He's ready to graduate in January. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. My name is Nana, as you have just said. But Nana is just my nickname. My full name is hard to pronounce. I'm sure you can see it from there.
Namwemba.
Namwemba. They are able to pronounce it, but for you guys, I don't know if you can. You can try if you want. Okay, we are going to praise the Lord together, and the song that you're going to sing says, I will praise His holy name. As the pastor said from the book of Psalm 150, that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so we are going to praise Him because He deserves it. So yeah, welcome to stand if you want. We worship the Lord together.
Take your seats. My name is Joshua, once more, and I'm going to share my testimony. Again, we continue to thank Pastor Rick Hensley and the church for giving us this opportunity to come and worship the Lord together with you. Part of our worship service is we are sharing testimonies and preaching. So I'm going to share my testimony about how I got saved. A little bit about my background. I lost both parents when I was very young. And then my brother raised me up, and he happens to be a very committed Jehovah's Witness. I hope everybody knows Jehovah's Witnesses. They go door-to-door sharing their message. And that's how I grew up, because I grew up with my brother, so I was trained as a Jehovah's Witness, and I was trained to be a good boy. I used to behave very well. They liked me at school. They liked me everywhere because I was taught a life of obedience and submission. And I thought through that I found salvation. And I thought just by being a Jehovah's Witness, because when you're a Jehovah's Witness, you think all Jehovah's Witnesses are going to be saved and everyone else is not going to be saved. So I thought I was saved because I was a Jehovah's Witness, and I thought I was saved because I was doing good things, I was witnessing and all those things. Then by God's grace, God gave me an opportunity to hear about the gospel. Like Paul says, that there's no way you can get saved without hearing the gospel. So I started a part-time employment just before high school, and my employer was from a First Baptist church. So he invited me to the church. My brother didn't know about that. I did it secretly. I went and attended the church service, and I went a couple of times without him knowing. Then that's how I got exposed to the gospel. When I went there, I sat there under a class called the Beginner's Class. I was taught about how we are saved by grace according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, I grasped the gospel and understood to say, I think this is the right way of getting salvation rather than what we think, because it was clearly explained about how you cannot save yourself through your good works. And I made a decision to give my life to the Lord. And the moment I did that, that was when I was 14 years old. And the moment I did that, I was filled with joy in my life. I was very happy. I was very excited about it. And I was excited to tell my brother. And when I told him, he wasn't excited about it, because he thought, oh, you have lost your salvation. You are no longer saved. So I couldn't stay with him very well after that. I struggled with him until I completed high school. Then I decided to start staying alone. And the family from the church where I come from, we come from the same church with George, one of the families, got me and started taking care of me. And George's father, who happens to be my pastor, introduced me to the Bible College. I applied, and I was accepted. In 2012, I started studying, and I just graduated in January, and I hope to be a pastor very soon. So I praise the Lord for what he's doing in my life. I've continued to grow in my life. I'm working as the kitchen manager. I'm also planning to go for my master's study in theology. So I praise God for what he's doing in my life, even after salvation. So we are going to sing a song that says, Jesus is my Savior. So it will be both in the local language and in English.
Jehovah, Amen. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, my name is Charles Mendro. As he said earlier on, I'm a student at International Bible College of Zambia, and I'm in my third year, planning to do some further studies, probably if I finish, if that God allows that. And I came to know Bible College through my brother in Christ, who happened to be Joshua Lundumuna, not this Joshua, but the other student. He graduated in 2014 when I was just a freshman. So I'm very, very glad to study the Word of God at International Bible College of Zambia. And I appreciate for the Gospel Link, for the work they are doing, for the sponsorship we are getting. I really appreciate that. So I'm just going to share with you my testimony on how I became a born-again person. In fact, I was one of the person who believed in salvation through works. I was a very, very committed church goer. I was very committed to church activities. I joined different activities at church. I used to sing, and I loved singing. And through doing that, I thought in my mind that I was saved because of my work. And this happened in 2005. When I was 14 years, the preacher preached about the story of young rich man in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, where this young rich man went to Jesus and said, "Master, what are some good things I must do to get saved?" And the scripture really touched my heart because that was exactly how my life was. I thought doing good things, going to church every day, joining different activities at church, doing different project I church, I will get saved. So through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I realized that I was lost. I needed Jesus Christ in my life. And that moment, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I accepted him to be my Lord and personal Savior. And from that moment up to now, things now have changed. Since in the past, I was going to church to gain salvation, but now I'm able to go to church to teach the word of God, to teach the gospel to the people, and also to teach those people who believe in salvation through works. That salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm rejoicing because I've been set free and I have Jesus in me. Therefore, alongside my testimony, we are going to sing a song called "I Love You, O Lord." I love Jesus because he came and died for my sins. So stay blessed as we are singing this song.
I love you, Lord, the living God. I love you, O Lord, the living God. The living God. The living God. The living God. I love you, O my Lord. I love you, O Lord, the living God. I love you, I love you, O Lord, the living God, the living God, the living God, the living God. I love you, O my Lord. Nalimite mwa imwe mweleso wa mweo. Nalimite mwa imwe mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Nalimite mwa mwelesa. Nalimite mwa imwe mweleso wa mweo. Nalimite mwa te mwa imwe mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Mweleso wa mweo. Nalimite mwa mwele. Oh, I love you. I love you, O Lord, the living God. Oh, I love you. I love you, O Lord, the living God. The living God. The living God. The living God. I love you, O my Lord.
In chapter 6, beginning from verse 9 to verse 10. Once again, my name is George. I serve back at the college as a campus pastor. So I will read the scripture. You are there. The Bible says, pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's been a lot of different thoughts that have been said about this scripture. scripture is based around the Lord's Prayer. Others still today deny that this is not the Lord's Prayer compared to the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples in John 17. So others say that this is supposed to be the disciples' prayer. And still others have said that this is the way to pray. But still, others have said that this is the how to pray. But this morning, I want to say it is the more than the way to pray. It is more than the how to pray. It is a life of every disciple of Christ. And so, if you look at how Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples how to pray, he begins by telling them to approach God as a father. And he says, when you pray, pray our Father. First of all, God is the Father of all creation. Nothing has existed. Nothing is in existence. Nothing will ever be in existence that God has not created. He is the Father of creation by the right that he created everything. He has created everything that we can see, everything that we can see, everything in the heavens, everything on earth, and everything under the earth. God is the creator of everything. And so he's the father of all creation. Now, we cannot be saved by just knowing that God is the creator of everything. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that God created everything and everything was good. But then because of sin, everything became affected because of sin. And so man lost his fellowship with God, and man started running away from God. And here's what God started doing. He started pursuing man. That's what we see throughout Scripture. God is still pursuing man. But because he is a holy God who does not, who would not let sin go unpunished, there is a judgment for sin. There is a judgment for sin. But again, he has provided the sacrifice for sin. And this sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And so we can only come back to him through Jesus Christ. Now, by just knowing that God is the creator of everything, we cannot be saved. But through Jesus Christ, believing through Jesus Christ, who is God, who gave himself to go to the cross, to the wrath of God, so that our fellowship with God can be restored. You have never come to face me. Today we will hear this voice. And so, God is the Father of everything. And so that is how we are born in this family of believers. Now we know God as our Father. And we know that he cares about us. We know that he has wonderful plans for us. So we know, we should know that he did not just create the world. He is with us, sustaining the world. That is what he's doing. And that is what he is. Nothing is here today that is outside his sustenance. Everything that we see, everything that we cannot see, is there because God is sustaining. So he's the Father of creation. And so if God is our Father, he has the right to give you again, just Christ said, our Father who is in heaven. When I think about this, I always think about God's perfection. He's beyond every human limitation. He's not confined by place. He's not bound by time. He's not limited. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere. He is in control. Nothing is beyond his reach. Nothing can take him off guard. And so when I think about God's perfection, sometimes we have prayed about things and it looks like they're taking too long. It feels like God is taking too long to respond to us. We feel like God is failing us. But I want you to know, I want you to encourage you this morning that he is never late. He is on time, on his time. And he can do whatever pleases to him because he is all perfect and all powerful. And so this is the God that we have, who is our Father, who is not limited by time, space, or circumstances, but he is all powerful. And then we have hallowed be thy name. When I think about this word, there's a word that comes to my mind, and it's called hagios. Hagios means something that is different, something that is separate, something that is unique. When we think about the name of God, it is a name that is above every other name. Now, when they talk about the name, it represents the character, it represents the personality, it also represents the nature. So when the Bible says, then hallowed be your name, it means God, not just a name, but it means the characteristic of God. And so when we come to think about the name of God as being holy, it represents God to be unique and different. And also what we should think about when we thinking about the name of God being holy, it means we have to respond according to his nature, according to what he desires and wants us to respond. When I think about hallowed be your name, I think about giving God the reverence that he deserves because he is holy. That's who he is. Now, you cannot reverence anything that does not exist, can you? You cannot. Unless we believe that we are here because God has created us, and that God is there, and that he's all-powerful, and that he deserves our response. And our response has to be with reverence, because he is a holy God. And so I will come to the verse that I was about to come to, which is thy kingdom come. Somebody said that every time you pray or you think about thy kingdom come, first of all, say or pray, my kingdom go. Okay? Because my kingdom, here is what my kingdom tells me. My kingdom tells me, trust in yourself and lean on your understanding. Acknowledge your ways and you will get the desire of your heart. That is what my kingdom tells me. It tells me about myself, tells me about how good I am. It's a castle on the sand. Gives me a false hope. Gives me false assurance. That is my kingdom. But if you look at this prayer, there you will find that there is no room for the prefixes I, me, and myself. What you will see throughout is us, we, us, our, and we. There is no room for self. And Jesus Christ, over and over, he was telling his disciples, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be the least. If you have to be the leader in the kingdom of God, you have to be the servant of all. That is what is in the kingdom of God. But praying that let your kingdom come is praying that God may reign and rule our life. That we may yield to his word, that we may obey his word, that we may follow his will. That's what it means. And in following God and in Christ reigning and ruling in our lives, we have peace. We have joy. We have joy. But then it's not just having and sitting and enjoying this fellowship with God, but it is also obeying his will. And what is his will? That the gospel of the kingdom can be proclaimed to people that don't know him. That is what his will is. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to know him, and all may know Jesus Christ. And this is, has to be not just in our prayer, not just in words to memorize, but in action, in everything that we do, in everything that we think about, how we can extend the kingdom of God, how we can see Christ reigning in people's lives, not just reigning, but ruling. How we can see others come to Christ and grow in their faith with God. How we can see others come to Christ and go out and share the gospel of the kingdom. This is more than words. This is more than the how, but it is a life. It's my prayer that this can be our life. That these words are not just words that can be spoken in a prayer and be forgotten afterwards. That these are just words that we can see in the Word of God and forget about them. But that this word can be in us to transform us into the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are our Father. Pray that you may teach us to glorify your name in everything we do. Pray that, Lord, we may be moved with your will to proclaim the kingdom, to preach the gospel. People that don't know him. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, George. Thank you so much. We have received this message. We have received the gospel so that God, first of all, he wants to bless us. He wants to save us. Then he wants us to join him in what he's doing. We have God's commission. I think I'm right on. Oh, there we go. The mandate of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, to join him in what he's doing. And you're already doing that. And I praise you for that, for the trips to Zambia and what you're doing. And I'm sure there's other things that you're doing to reach this area, to reach your families, to reach those around you, and to reach the uttermost parts of the world. So God has called us to be a part of what he's doing. God is at work all over the world. I'm excited particularly about what God is doing in Africa. Now, we have national pastors in Africa and Europe and Asia, about 1,300 national pastors or natives of the countries where they live and they serve. They're planting churches, making disciples, bringing people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But my heart is particularly in Africa. And for those that have been to Africa, it gets in your heart. It gets in your blood. If you had told me 10 or 12 years ago I'd be going to Africa every year, I'd say there's no way. And now I enjoy going. It's a long flight over. And I get on the plane, and I'm getting you know, maybe halfway over there. I'm thinking, man, this is a long flight. I don't want to do this again. I get over there, have a wonderful time of ministry and fellowshipping with the African believers. I get back on the plane, and I'm thinking, now when can I come back again? And I'm already planning my next trip. So my heart's in Africa. I ran across these statistics a while back. Philip Jenkins is a professor at Penn State University, real strong evangelical college over in Pennsylvania, right? He's written a book about the worldwide growth of Christianity, and he makes some interesting observations about the continent of Africa and how the Lord is at work there. In 1900, there were approximately 10 million Christians in Africa. By 2000, that number had risen to 360 million believers in Africa. There's more believers now in Africa than there is in the United States. Almost as many believers in China as there is in the United States. So the Lord's at work. He's bringing people to himself. We look at our own nation. I know right now a lot of folks are discouraged. We look at the election cycle and look at the moral indicators and all the things that are happening in our nation, and we get very discouraged. But here's the reality. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. The tomb is still empty. God is still bringing people to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's doing it right where we are, and he's doing it all over the world. And he seems to be doing it right now in this season in a greater way in other parts of the world, in the southern hemisphere, in the eastern hemisphere. God is working. He's bringing people to himself in a powerful way, and we praise him for that. Estimates are by 2025, there'll be 633 million believers in Africa. You know, we hear a lot about Islam, and Islam is growing. It is obviously a threat security-wise and politically and theologically. People are dying without hope. But God is bringing more people to himself. Islam is growing, and it's growing rapidly in those countries where it's already dominant. But God is bringing people to Jesus Christ. In fact, he's bringing a lot of Muslims to Christ. And that's their hope. That's our hope, that God would touch their hearts, that he would bring them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Christianity is growing. It's growing much faster than Islam. In fact, the estimates are by the middle of the century, there'll be 3 billion Christians in the world. Now, right now, there's over 7 billion people in the world. So even if the population did not increase, and if we had 3 billion Christians now, that would tell us there's 4 billion people that do not know Christ. And that number, of course, will rise as the population increases. But God is at work, and again, he's particularly at work in Africa. Now, there's a lot of challenges. We look at the continent of Africa. Languages is a big challenge. Over 2,000 languages on the continent of Africa. These students each know 4 or 5 different languages. There's 73 languages in Zambia. I don't know about y'all, but I have trouble with learning one language. I have trouble with English. But they know the languages, and they're learning their languages. But it's still a challenge. Over a third of the Bible translation work that still needs to be done is on the continent of Africa. We still need more churches. We look around at the U.S. and we see so many churches. But there, people are coming to know the Lord, but there's not always a church for them to attend that they can get to. The pastors tell us in Africa, evangelism is easy, but discipleship is difficult. And particularly in Southern Africa and Eastern Africa, people come to the Lord very readily. They hear the gospel and they respond to it. You could take a small team and go to Zambia or Tanzania, somewhere like that. You could spend a couple of weeks and easily see a couple of thousand people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if they're not discipled, if they're not taught the Word of God, if they're not brought into the life of the church, they go right back where they came from. So we need more and more churches. We need more and more pastors to pastor these churches and to plant new churches. We need more and more trained pastors. And even the pastors, after they're already trained in their pastoring, they need to be equipped even more. And that's one area the Bible College comes in. The young folks are being trained to be pastors, to be church planters. Many of them are being trained to be teachers. They'll be teaching at our college and at other colleges. And several of these guys, that's their goal, is to be teachers. Now, all the students from the college are not going to become teachers. Most of them will become pastors. But those that have studied, that have applied themselves, that are gifted, will become professors, and they'll be able to teach others as God has commanded us. So really excited about what's happening there, even though, again, there's a lot of challenges in Africa. Well, I think I'm right on the line. We'll get to that next slide. The Bible College was started in 2009. The Lord has blessed us. We have 325 acres there on Mount Kazimba. We're still adding on to the college. We have about 90 buildings. Most of those are the cabins where the students live. There's two or three students that live in each cabin. We're still building buildings. I'm adding on to the clinic there right now as we speak. Again, started in 2009, so we've had several classes to already graduate. We have 99 students currently at the Bible College. We have 25 new students coming in January. Each of the students comes on a scholarship, sponsorship basis. They come to the college. They work at least 18 hours a week. They take care of the grounds. They grow the food. We have three chicken houses there. They're taking care of that. They help with the transportation, building the new buildings. They're working in the clinic. They're cooking the food. Just doing a lot of things. They're learning a lot of skills that they can use as they get out in ministry. So we have the students have sponsorships for them. Two of the guys you've already heard have graduated. They're working at the college. We have sponsorships for them. Almost all of those are taken care of. We're very thankful for that. We have more and more Zambian professors that have come to the college and are teaching. Some of them got their training there, and they've come to the college. And then we've had three students so far. They've come to the U.S. They've gotten their master's degree, and they've gone back, and they're teaching at the college. So the Lord's really at work. So we have those three different types of sponsorships. Each sponsorship is $50 a month. And again, that enables the students to come to go to the college full time. These students, a lot of times here in the U.S., we'll maybe have two or three different colleges we're looking at. Most of these students, if they didn't come to the Bible College, they would not be able to go to college. So it's that important, and that's the opportunity that they have. They're all interviewed, and of course there's a lot more that would like to come than are able to come. Right now we're getting 25 new students in January. We believe eventually when the college is completely built out, we'll have room for about 600 students, but we still got a ways to go to get to that point. All of the sponsors, of course, receive a profile. Let me back up. The profiles are out there on the table, has the student's picture, has their testimony. Each of the sponsors gets a quarterly report from their student. How many of you are getting those? Okay, hope all of you are that are doing the sponsorships. Tell you how the student's doing, how you can pray for them, what their goals are for the quarter, all of those things. We have a table set up out here. We have the profiles. You can come by and look at those. Love for you to pick one and say, I would like to help this student so that they can get their education. There's a small form to fill out, just your name and address. Just let us know when you want to start. You can give today. You can give later. You can mail it in. You can go online and give You can do automatic draft, use credit card or debit card, just a lot of different ways you can do your sponsorships. So we have all of that out there. We have our quarterly newsletter. I'd love for you to pick that up. Love for you to sign up to get that in the mail or by email. We also have CDs out here. Love for you to get those. That's just simply for a donation. So they'll be available also at the end of the service. We also have the mission trips. I'll get to that slide. There we go. We have the trips to Zambia every year, May, June, and July. Every 2 weeks, a new team will go. Doing a lot of different ministries there at the college, teaching, helping with the construction, working in the clinic, working with children in the village, working in the capital, doing evangelism. There's a side trip to Victoria Falls and an animal safari also. And then in addition to those trips, I lead a team to Tanzania every year. Be going next July. This past July, we had a medical evangelism and discipleship team, about 15 folks that went on that trip. So love to talk with you about the trips. How many would say right now, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to go to Zambia or Tanzania next summer? Okay. So most of you are game for going, right? Now, here's the thing. Everybody can't go, but those that can go can send those that will go. The trips, at least to Tanzania, are about $1,250 plus the airfare. I believe the trips to Zambia are even a little cheaper than that, depending on how much time you spend in the capital and how much time you spend at the college. But here's the thing. Where God guides, God provides. The Africans say it a little bit different, a little succinctly. They say if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And God always provides. And here's the way he does that. He puts it on our heart. We make a commitment to go. And then God provides the resources. So many people say, well, if I had the money, or if I get the money, I'll go. It rarely ever works that way. You make a commitment to go, and then God provides the money. Let folks around you know what you're doing. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to be a part of that. And God always raises up folks to do that. So love for you to consider those trips. Let me know if you're interested. There's information on the website. Also put you on our email list to get more information. Again, thank you so much for letting us be here. We've had a great time. Pastor, do you want to come now? Again, thank you so much for all that you're doing.
I just wanted to confirm some things that John was saying, because I've had the chance, as have a number of you, had the chance to be there and to see the students and to see what they're doing. This year we had the opportunity to hear Justin Siam, is that how you pronounce it? Siam? Okay, I said it wrong. Justin, come back from being trained in the U.S. and come back, now he's teaching courses at IBCZ. He actually preached at a chapel as well. Gideon is back. Is it Sanwell that's back too? Trying to remember who else is back. And the other thing I wanted to mention is not only are the students learning and working different ways at the college, but they're actually being able to use these skills in other places as they go. So it's a tremendous opportunity. Well, we're here to hear from the students. We've heard testimony. We've heard song. Do you have maybe two more songs that you could sing for us? Would that be okay? All right, well, we're going to invite them up for two more songs, then we'll close in prayer, and they get to stay here for a little while for fellowship with us before they have to go on to their next church. So would you guys come on up?
Okay, the song we are going to sing, thank you for being with us all this time. The song we are going to sing is called Jabulani. Jabulani is one of the languages in Africa, spoken mostly in South Africa. The word means rejoice. So it's talking about rejoicing in the Lord, because Christ is the light that is shining in Africa, in America, and especially in our lives. So the song is talking about.
Stand up and sing with us. Joshua is going to explain a little bit what we do when we sing this song.
Okay, so the song has some actions. So the song is simply saying there's no one like Jesus Christ, and we all agree that there's no one like Jesus Christ. So what the song is basically saying is there's a part that says, I've walked and walked, and you expect everyone to show that they are walking. So you can walk around. Then when we say I've searched, you need to search. Maybe you can try to find someone like Jesus under the bench there. So you have to search around under the benches, under the books. Then when you say I've turned around, you need to turn around, try to check if there's one like Jesus near you. Then at the end you say there's no one like Jesus Christ. So when that part comes, we expect everyone to move around and search around and turn around. That's what the song is basically saying. Thank you.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Jesus.
Trip to Zambia, and we were all excited to try to do that. Not as good as our team here, but thank you for leading us. We have the opportunity to fellowship together right after this. It'll be a little bit of time as they're setting up, but take the time to get to know the team, and they'll be eating with us as well. So let me pray for us and pray for our time together. You may be seated if you like. That's fine. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the author of salvation. Thank you that we know that there is nothing that we can do, as was mentioned, by our own works that could make us right before you. We have only earned wrath, and yet you have extended grace to all who believe upon the name of Jesus Christ and the works of Jesus Christ. Thank you that his works were sufficient. Ours have fallen short. Thank you that in him we stand right before you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to use each and every one of us as your instruments of grace, as those who have been called according to your purpose for the mission of seeing this kingdom extended as your servants We pray your blessing on our time of fellowship. We pray that, again, we would encourage one another. Thank you for the provision, for all the hands that have prepared it. Give this team safety. Help them as they go to wherever they're going next and the rest of their time here in the United States. Thank you for the blessing that we had today to be with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.